think often it's about a community of people your own age. So that's something that I see a lot more people my age going to other denominations. So then it becomes a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? Because you go where there are other young people. I think maybe, I know certainly what I look for and what I, when I speak to friends of mine who are interested in faith but maybe don't go to church, I look for them really to be like speaking into the moment. Like, I think sometimes churches are afraid to talk about the big stuff in life and in politics, or that we don't want to get political, we don't want to get involved in that kind of thing, but that speak to the relevance to people my age and you know, like why this is actually for us and why it would be a life-changing encounter when you meet Jesus. And as much as people like me can say that, I think sometimes it's hard for the church to really get that message across. And so people view it as this old school thing that, you know, oh, I did it when I was a kid. A lot of them will say, I went to Sunday school, but, you know, what's the point? It doesn't really change anything. So I don't know how well we sometimes speak to where people my age are in life, what they're seeing around them in the world, and actually where Jesus fits into that.
Welcome back to Emerging Emmaus, and I have the delight of having a co-pilot in Lindsay Brennan, who you heard from recently on one of our podcasts, and I'll ask Lindsay to introduce our guest, please. Lindsay.
Hi Neil, it's good to be finally joining you, and great to be co-hosting with you, and I'm delighted that we have Katie Hart with us today. Katie is a very young elder in the Church of Scotland, very young elder in the Church of Scotland, and she serves at a church quite near me in Bulljaffrey in Bearsden. And I love Katie's missional heart, and I just thought it would be wonderful to get her on Emerging Emmaus and hear from her and hear from her heart, Katie's heart, her missional heart. Katie Hart's heart for the mission of God. So I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. I'm really excited to be here.
I was just thinking, I was at my, so I'm a minister of two churches, St Paul's in Mulgai and Baldarnock, which is more rural.
And this we were Glasgow. Glasgow we're talking
Glasgow,
about.
Glasgow. Yeah. So actually really near Katie. So I'm in Mulgai and she's in Bearsden. So yeah, we're quite near each other. But I was at my prayer meeting at my little church last night, and we just had a lovely time of sharing God moments. So just those wee moments in the everyday where you're really aware of the presence of God. And I just wondered, Katie, do you have any of those wee God moments that we were just sharing ideas last night?
Just in general, like from my last week, say, or are we talking in general?
Anything, whatever the spirit pops into your mind.
I had a really small one yesterday, actually. I'd had a total disaster. I was going to the gym, which I'm only ever doing reluctantly, right? I'm not someone who ever gets up and wants to go to the gym. But I was driving to the gym and then the road was closed and every bit of me was like, just turn around and go home. The road's closed, that's not your fault. But I thought, no, like, I've put all the gear on, I might as well go and do something. So I drove to Kenwardinney Lock, which is near Lindsay and I. And I thought, right, I'll just go for a wee run, you know. Didn't have any of the right gear with me for running. I was going to the gym, but never mind. And I went for this run and it's an embarrassing confession, but I'm actually a little bit scared of swans, okay? There's like, and I think I have good reason to be. I think swans are quite vicious, but
they are, they're lethal.
Yeah, there's a family of swans that live at Kenwardine Lock that are pretty scary. And I, as I started to run, I thought, oh man, the swans. Like, I didn't factor in the swans, and I found myself being like, God, just deal with the swans for me, you know? And sure enough, I come around the lock, the swans are nowhere to be seen. And I just had a moment where I just looked out over the water and was like, oh, I'm so glad I did this morning. Like, it was just, the water was really still, it was really peaceful. I just felt so light and so, again, not words I'd ever associate with exercise for me. But just, yeah, those little moments when you're just like, I don't know that God really was trying to save me from anything with the swans, but it had just given me that wee boost that I needed of looking out over that lovely view, and not having any swans to worry about and having a wee breather before I started my day. So yeah, sometimes it's like little moments like that for me that I'm just like, oh, I love God.
Oh, that's so nice. It's so funny when you're talking about swans. I've got a funny story to tell. My sister once, many years ago, was on a date, and they were sitting by somewhere like Kilmedinny Loch, having, you know, those big softies you get from Greggs, you know, these big rolls that have got lots of filling on them. And my sister's a vegetarian, and she had her favorite egg mayonnaise big softie, and this swan just came out of the water, grabbed it from her, attacked her slightly, and ran off with her big softie.
Yeah, see, I'm scared of them for good reason. I think they're
Yeah.
pretty.
So you got to appreciate
If you
God's
go too
plan.
close to them, they can be, especially if there's cygnets around.
Well, yeah.
They're very defensive and protective, aren't
And I would say these ones are like notoriously violent. Like, but there is stories of them biting people and stuff. I think I don't know why I'm
they?
defending
Razor
myself
gangs.
quite so much.
Yeah.
Yes, so close to get to a gang in Bears Den. Have you had a God moment this week, Neil?
A God moment. Well, yes, they're all over the place, aren't they? If we're attentive and listening and looking and open. Yeah, I have God moments every time I go out into nature for a wee walk along the road, and we've got a beautiful setting here beside the River Irvine. And we had our practicing away course last night, and it was just lovely listening to people opening up, you know, in a situation where trust is built, and we are intent to follow Jesus and practice His way, and folk were really open and listening. And we were on the bit that we were talking about suffering and how suffering, you know, Jesus is in the business of teaching us not to be afraid of suffering and pain, and to face up to it, and to be able to name our emotions and name and tame them when they threaten to overwhelm us. And so, yeah, so we're talking about our emotions and pain and suffering and God transforming them. And we were all able to give examples of it. And yeah, even myself, you know, recently there have been things that have happened, and you can park them, you can put them to the side, you can deny them, you can detach from them, you can drug yourself to get away from them. Not just by alcohol and drugs, but by activities. Even the gym can become that sort of passion for people that just stops us facing up to what's really happening in our lives. And so, yes, you know, that's been something that I've been really thinking about recently, and being open to and reflecting on, and through being able to face up to wounds in the past. To proceed with gratitude and learn from them. So yeah, there've been God moments in that department for me. Yeah, but more of Katie.
Definitely more, Kate. I love that. Thank you. I enjoyed your story as well. Now,
Yeah.
so Katie,
Yes.
can I tell people your age? Is that all right?
Yeah, that's okay.
Okay, right. So Katie is 31 years old, and she is an elder in the Church of Scotland. And I was really keen to hear from you, Katie, because being a relatively young person in the Church of Scotland, you must see the lens. Must see the church through a different lens to a lot of us who are older or much older. So I'm kind of keen to hear your thoughts of where you think the church could be better at reaching the younger generation.
Okay, wow. Small question just to kick us off. So I think maybe what's interesting, I suppose, is actually the very particular group of young people that I fit into of being in that, like, let's say 21 to, well, no, maybe 25 to 40, right? Because I actually think we do a lot to reach out to families and children and even teenagers. Lots of churches do loads of cool stuff with teenagers. Where I found it really hard to find my place in the Church of Scotland was when I left uni and I was not married or engaged. I didn't have a child. I was not yet able to be classed as a family in that sense. But I also was too old to be classed as a young child or a teenager anymore. And I actually, the whole path of me becoming an elder kind of came out of that because I was beginning to drift away from the church. And we had an amazing minister, Ian McEwan, who was always really missional and always really pioneering. And Ian had signed us up to do Growing Young, which is a sort of program around intergenerational ministry. And as part of this, the Grown Young team emailed everybody who was between the ages of like maybe I think maybe like 16 and 25, and asked us what we thought about the church. And Lindsay will know that if you ask me a question, I'm going to give you an honest full answer. So our prayer minister got an email from me that just basically said what I've just said there, which is, well, why would I come? Like, I don't fit in anymore. You don't really know what to do with me. I was finding that I could go on a Sunday and people didn't really talk to me. Like, I didn't have anyone to sit with. I didn't have any group to join. And I was like, I still believe in God and I still think I love God and I still think I'm a Christian, but I don't really know where I fit in church. And that was just at the start of COVID. And we moved all the Grown Young stuff online, and Ian and his wife Edith were like, come and join the group. So I joined Grown Young, and that was amazing. And I felt really inspired by the way that they talked about intergenerational stuff, not young people's things, not stuff for kids and teenagers, but the church has this intergenerational family. And it's not about having young families in the church or having kids in the church. It's about the church being a family and a family unit where everyone matters. And so that was really the big challenge for me. And I think it is a challenge for lots of people who maybe don't fit into that like nuclear family unit as to where they fit just in society in general, but particularly in the church. And then it was off the back of that that I became an elder. So that was kind of the path in. I've now forgotten the question. Did that answer the question?
So where do you think, you did. You're very good at answering the question, thank you. But where do you think the Church of Scotland particularly could be doing better at reaching your generation? Because what I'm seeing, Katie, in the area that I'm now serving is a lot of the young people, I'm saying young people, I'm talking about that 25 to 40 category, who
Yep.
are Christian, that live in Bearsden and Mogae, they're still choosing to jump in their cars to go into the West End to worship,
Yep.
despite maybe you coming to the Church of Scotland for parent toddler groups or other community groups that they're in the area that they live, they're not thinking about worshiping in the space that they live.
I think some of that is like to do with worship style. I think a lot of the Church of Scotland churches do have that more traditional style. And when you go to other denominations, there's maybe more contemporary music, and things like that. So I think that's partly it, but that's not the case for all Church of Scotland churches, right? There's lots of Church of Scotland churches that are embracing contemporary worship. I think often it's about a community of people your own age. So that's something that I see a lot more people my age going to other denominations, so then it becomes a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? Because you go where there are other young people. I think maybe I know certainly what I look for, and when I speak to friends of mine who are interested in faith but maybe don't go to church, I look for them really to be like speaking into the moment. Like, I think sometimes churches are afraid to talk about the big stuff in life and in politics, or that we don't want to get political, we don't want to get involved in that kind of thing, but that speak to the relevance to people my age, and like why this is actually for us, and why it would be a life-changing encounter when you meet Jesus. And as much as people like me can say that, I think sometimes it's hard for the church to really get that message across. And so people view it as this old school thing that I did it when I was a kid. A lot of them will say, I went to Sunday school, but what's the point? It doesn't really change anything. So I don't know how well we sometimes speak to where people my age are in life, what they're seeing around them in the world, and actually where Jesus fits into that.
I think that is so interesting, Katie, because I love connecting with people that have maybe drifted away from the church. So their names might be still on our traditional congregational roll. They got baptized in the church. They may have married as a young adult in the church, and they'll still talk about that being their church, but through very much rose-tinted glasses, looking back. Oh, remember the Sunday school days, and we went on Sunday school outings, and we had all these holidays. But they're not seeing the relevance of church now for them being a young adult, maybe with their family, or So it's how we show people that have made a commitment in the past, who I don't. I believe have lost their faith. They will never say people that aren't worshiping that have been involved in the church in the past with their family, when they won't say they're not Christian. They'll say they're still a Christian, but they're not seeing the importance to worship, and they're not seeing the relevance.
Yeah. And I think there's also a level to which more and more I talk to people, and it's not that they would describe themselves as atheists, but they maybe believe in lots of things, right? So they'd be like, oh, I think there maybe is a God, but I don't really know what that means for me. And I think I maybe also believe in this other thing as well. So there's a bit of a disconnect between what we know as Christians is that God is God, right? And that is it. And that is the game changer. But maybe people just have little sprinklings of knowledge and little bits and pieces of lots of different things that they're trying to piece together. And maybe almost like going to church is too much of a commitment to one thing at that point, you know?
Yeah, and the other interesting thing, I know you've been quite keen on this as well, Neil, looking at how all the different generations view God and how they worship. So I've been really interested in the what generation are you? Are you Gen Z?
Red.
No, I don't think I'm Gen Z. I think I'm too old to be Gen Z. Let me Google
I
it.
thought it was 35,
Oh my
18 to
gosh,
35.
imagine me. That makes me feel very young. I was just saying the church of Scotland is the only place I still feel young.
You're a Gen Z, so the Gen Zs
Sorry,
apparently
I'm not.
you're
I'm
not.
a millennial because it's 97 onwards for Gen Z, according to.
Okay, but the generation that you're in are people, I think what you've just said, are people that are seeking truth, relevance, authenticity. I've told this story so many times now, but I'm going to tell it again here. In the parent toddler group, or one of the parent toddler groups where I pop into, a young woman who must have been in her early 30s brings her children, and she's a Christian, but she's not worshiping in our church. She worships somewhere else, and she challenged me that, you know, she'd been coming along with her baby and our children to this parent toddler group for months, and she says, "Are you a church?" And I said, "Yeah, we're a church." "Well, why hasn't anyone prayed with me yet?"
Wow. Yeah.
So Neil, it made me think about your generation. I'm sorry to say you're in another generation, but you are. With your generation, do you find that some of your peers are still thinking of faith being a private thing, something that needs to be kept to yourself? You serve and you show acts of love, but you shouldn't be forcing what you believe on other people.
Yes, I think we're talking about cultures here as well as generational things. And so in our situation, we have been able to counter that culture where people say it's a private thing, and encourage people to be much more public, and to, you know, when we, you know, we were talking there about practicing the way course, and the way we've sought to disciple people in the smaller groups is to help people to talk about their faith and to be able to pray. And often that starts with pray out loud with in a group. Often that starts with simply reading something out, and there's others that will never do it and don't do it, but that's okay. But we're encouraging this ability to name and talk about one's faith publicly as well as privately. And so yes, culture and generation. Generationally, there is this kind of privatized religion. I'm interested that, you know, I was one of our guys has got a kind of prophetic edge in our church. I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but I don't think so. Was talking about the generational thing and how, the people of Israel were traveling through the wilderness, and for 40 years they wandered. And it wasn't until the older generation actually died that the younger generation was able to come through and lead them into the promised land. And I think my sense is with him that the process we're involved in is, in fact, unfortunately, there is the and it's it, when you know, there's the danger of categorizing everybody in a group culturally or generationally. But you know, I think there are my generation and younger than my generation as well have kind of let the side down, so to speak. We've not stepped up, and we've not, you know, the management of the climate involved in is part of that our generations have not I've not been evangelical about our faith. We've not been willing to, and I'm not meaning in your face like stuff. I'm just being honest and open and free about the faith and the difference Jesus makes and the transformation you just talked about, Katie. And that we need a generation that's not going back to Egypt and saying the way it should be and the way it used to be. And we're not a generation that's fearful of what's coming to come, though there is that anxiety, I think, in generations, younger generations as well. And that's one of the reasons people are coming to Christ, and seeking that security, that purpose, that reason for living, that bigger story that helps everything to fit in. So I think your generation, Katie, and younger than yours, 18 to 35, there is evidence that younger people are coming to faith, are more open to and socially active and ready to hopefully step up and step in. So I'm hopeful and prayerful about that. I'm rabbiting on, of course, but you did ask a question about the generation. So that's my kind of take on it.
But what's nice, what you've just said, Neil, is it just because you've maybe been raised within a generation where faith is a private thing and we don't need to talk about our faith, we can just show our faith. In your church, you're saying that there has been a culture shift, that even people that have been brought up this certain way are now finding tools or ways that they can share. Is that what
Yes.
you're saying? That
Yes, we can be countercultural, that's right. Counter-generational culture, yeah. A big
It's a
mouthful,
mouthful.
isn't
Yeah,
it?
I think it is important as well, because I think oftentimes when we try to talk about this sort of age stuff in the church, it gets really difficult because people right away feel pushed out, right? When we talk about the importance of young people, for example, in the future of the church, I've had lots of really difficult conversations about this in the time since I've been an elder, around people feeling pushed out, right? And thinking, well, actually, I poured my whole life into a church, into a community, and then I'm being told, well, actually, get out the way and make way for the young folk. And I think it's really important that we don't lose like wisdom and experience and some of the people who discipled me at Abel Jaffrey, who when I was a child were the people who were the faith role models for me. I'm not now going to turn around and say, oh, well, actually, guys, if you could just take a back seat and let all of us under 30s take it from here, or under 40s take it from here. It's about how we have these conversations so that people can see that we're talking about a culture and we're talking about like mindsets that need to change, not entire age groups that are suddenly not important or not useful, because we're all important and we're all useful. That's how, there's no age beyond which God can't use you. That's just such a false sense of how these things work. God can do anything with anybody. But I think sometimes because it's like a sensitive thing, and it plays into, I think, wider issues around how people feel as they get older in society more generally, it can touch a raw nerve for folk, I think.
Yeah, and I think, we don't want, I mean, I was talking to someone whose church is the opposite end of the spectrum from what we see in a lot of Church of Scotland's, is that they've just got young people. Oh, you don't want
Oh,
any
yeah.
church just with one age group. As you said, Katie, we want intergenerational churches because that's where the fun is, that's where the life is. We want to be learning from each other, and each age group has a purpose. God's got a plan and purpose for each one of us.
I think it's about discipling the whole person. Nobody has a young family forever. Nobody's a child forever. Nobody has children, has young children forever. And so I think sometimes in the sort of clumsiness of the conversation around who your church wants to prioritize or cater to at a particular moment in its life, we lose sight of like it's about that whole person, their whole life, understanding that God is for them from the moment they are born until the end of eternity, wherever that might be. Like there's a real sense of that being a lifelong commitment that I think gets lost, because I don't know about you, but I've seen lots of times where you've maybe had families that have come to church while their children are young, but then as soon as their kids can kind of make their own decision about getting out of bed at 9 o'clock in the morning, they're not anywhere to be seen. But then you have people, my mum didn't stop going to church when I was in that teenage stage and I was a little bit in and out, because she had her own faith and her own journey. And so it's about making sure that it's not just that we're providing services for parents and giving them somewhere to take their children. It's about discipling that whole family unit as well, I
Absolutely.
think.
And did that come out of the whole discipleship thing, which the Practicing the Way course is really good on as well. Did out of your Growing Young a course with your previous minister and elders, did you start addressing some of these things? Was there anything that Bill Jaffrey started to do differently?
Yeah, I think it was a real mindset shift for us. More than we had lots of like practical plans for intergenerational events and things, and then we were in the middle of COVID. It was like every time we pla it was honestly funny. Like we would put something in the diary, and then immediately a lockdown would be announced. Like it was just like constant cancelling and stuff. So I think it's more been about mindset rather than anything else for us. Instead of like tangible, oh, we did this event or this scheme or whatever. It's been about considering or prioritising those intergenerational relationships at all points in our work. And I think really understanding that those relationships are going to be so important. And I think for me, like I work with our Girls Brigade company, we're really fortunate. We've got a big GB company, and the girls are absolutely brilliant. But one of the things that I love the most is seeing them in times when they get to interact with the rest of the church family. So, for example, Friday night we had our last Friday we had our ordination of our new minister, and they were there to help out. They were on the door welcoming people. They were pouring tea and coffee, and I could see that they were absolutely buzzing to like have a wee job and be there doing stuff. And all those memories that I have of being a young person growing up in the church, it's not actually memories of any big event that I have. It's a feeling of being part of a big family and part of, you know, sometimes just like standing drying dishes at the end of the night chatting to somebody is just as important as anything else. And so I think seeing those relationships be prioritized has probably been the biggest mindset shift that's come out of Grown Young for lots of us.
Yeah, and you know, it's not one category over here and one category over here. You can the two merging together is the most beautiful thing ever. That just sounds lovely. I was
Yeah.
really annoyed that I missed your new
Oh,
minister's ordination induction because of my broken foot, but I'm looking forward to meeting him soon. But that comes me on to my next question to you. I got really excited watching you. Your church sadly was a lot of like lots of other churches in the Church of Scotland having to navigate quite a lengthy vacancy process. You were without a minister for quite a while. How long was it?
just shy of 3 years vacant. We did, it's hard because we were just shy of 3 years. We did have 15 months with a really brilliant probationer. So I don't want to pretend like we were flying solo that whole time. We had a brilliant probationer for 15 months, and we were within that a 3 year vacancy.
Yeah, so as a young elder,
Yes.
how did you keep momentum up within your church where people might be becoming a bit despondent or do you know those kind of attitudes?
Yeah, a lot of prayer. A lot of prayer. Yeah, I mean, I think it would be dishonest to say that that isn't a challenge, and that there wasn't times when, like, I know personally for me, I was so burnt out. There's only 9 of us on our kirk session. That's another thing that's a little bit unusual about Bill Jaffrey. We have a very small kirk session, which, yeah, I've only ever known it that way, and I think it works really well. But it does mean that in times like this, it was like, oh wow, there really is just quite a small group of us. And for me personally, I was leading Sunday services quite a lot, sometimes as many as 2 a month. So that was quite a big ask of my time, as well as I was working multiple jobs. So there was lots of just like practical issues around having the time to fit it in. I think we were so blessed though that our congregation just got behind us in the way that was, I think maybe I was more worried than I had to be. Like I thought we'd really be struggling to keep people coming in the door, and people kept showing up, and there was just a real sense of like we're in it together. And I think Ian had always, sorry, our previous minister had always done such a good job of being like, this isn't my church, this is your church. This like Bill Jaffrey is the church. And I think we really did sort of take that and go with it. I think actually the hardest bit was those last few months once the vacancy was open. So the vacancy opened in February, and then it was actually quite a long period of kind of discerning who the new minister was going to be. That was actually the bit where both myself and everyone else, it was like we just ran out of steam. So yeah, I'd say the big challenge was just trying to remember that it was all already sorted. Like God already had it in control. I'm such a control freak. I'm such a worrier. That church has been such a big part of my life, and I feel so honored to have been made an elder, and I feel that huge burden of responsibility, and then that like weighs on my mind. But then I just had some, like, you know, some great people around us who just kept saying, you know, this is this is all the plan anyway, so why, it's not actually on you. And I think that helps massively. Yeah, that, as I say, a lot of prayer, a lot of prayer and a lot of breathing deeply.
And what are you most excited about in your new journey, your new chapter? So you've got your new minister.
Yeah, I'm excited to kind of get back to some of the stuff that I had to put on the back burner a little bit while we were kind of having to run things ourselves. So I've always been involved in our sort of social media or digital ministry stuff, and I'm really passionate about that. And I'm so excited because that was one thing that I definitely run out of steam for towards the end. And it's been lovely to have things to post again. So yeah, looking forward to being able to look now to the future and look to. I think Bill Jaffrey has so many amazing opportunities for mission. We have an amazing location right in the middle of a lovely community, and being able to look outward now a little bit more. I think we've been trying so hard to just sustain our church family for so long now that maybe we can actually look outward a little bit more.
That sounds exciting. Got any questions, Neil? She's so vibrant, isn't she?
Yeah, it's lovely. And I've noticed, certainly I noticed one Ruth Kennedy inspired or involving you in one of the YouTube videos or Instagram videos, which is great.
Yeah,
And
so I work with Ruth one day a week just now on something we call Insta Mission, which is reels that are posted every week on the Church of Scotland Instagram that are aimed at people who are not church attenders.
yeah, it's great to see. And I suppose the big question I've got at the moment is in relationship to our situation here in Irvine is growing young and following through with the growing young principles, which are great. And we came through the same time with yourselves at Bill Jaffrey, I think. And so yes, there's that key chain leadership, the learning to look to see if there are younger people who can step into roles. There's the empathy today, the Jesus message, warm relationships, but prioritizing everywhere, best neighbors. But the clearly it's made a huge influence, and you getting involved in a group like that made a huge influence, and that's challenged me to think. Well, we're already trying to think about it, how to listen to the younger people, how to embrace them, how to encourage them, because we've got younger people that are wondering, where are we? Where do we fit in? And all too easily we lose the younger people. And in your situation, you'll have younger people who are coming through the way you came through. How are you looking to them and following through with this growing young process?
Yeah, so I think there's always this, and this may be an unpopular opinion. This is my personal opinion. I'm not speaking on behalf of Bill Jaffrey here, right? In case any of them listening are like, hang on a minute.
Disclaimer, disclaimer.
No, yeah, just a disclaimer. I think sometimes the thing that holds us back from this key chain leadership and this idea of passing on responsibility is that we think it's a real hardship to ask that of young people, right? We're like, oh, we don't want to ask too much of them because we want them to keep coming. We don't want them to be worried about getting a job and having to do anything because we want them to keep hanging about. I have very, very rarely asked a young person to take on a role and found that it has scared them away. And I think that's because, first of all, you take the time to discern whether that is the right young person for that role. Okay, so for example, people always say to me about getting young people involved in our social media. Currently, the group of young people that we have in our church, they're not that into it. They're just not. They have Instagram accounts, but they're not that bothered. There's this idea that all young people are super invested in social media. Anytime that I've talked to them about it, they've just been a bit like, yeah, cool. I can tell it's not for them, right? So rather than just thinking young people equals social media, you have to think about the individuals that you're talking to and what roles they actually want, right? But right now we've got two teenage boys who are doing their Duke of Edinburgh and they're doing our tea and coffee rota. So like every couple of weeks it's them who do all the tea and coffee after the service. And they're brilliant. Everyone's loving it because they're getting to do it. It's getting them their Duke of Edinburgh hours. And it's just so lovely to have them there. That maybe is more successful than asking them to do a job they didn't want to do and that didn't really work for them. So I think if you take the time to actually discern what you're asking people to do, rather than thinking, oh, we should just have a young person do this so we have a young person doing it. I remember when we were doing the Growing Young thing, it talked about warm relationships. And the best thing that I was ever told about that actually didn't come from the church. It came from another job where I was a bit nervous. I'd been working with young kids doing like drama classes, and I was going to work with teenagers, and I said, "Oh, I'm really worried," because I was like a deeply uncool teenager, so I don't know how I'm going to go down as an adult, you know? And someone said to me, "Kids don't want you to be cool, they want you to be warm." And that was such a game changer for me. And it's sort of the same thing. Like, young people don't need the church to like cater to them in big, sparkly, fancy ways. Like, they just actually want you to care about them as an individual and remember what they like and what they don't like and keep track of when their exams are and all those things. And if you do that, I tend to find like what I see from my girls at Girls Brigade is we pour into them, and then they are more than happy to do whatever we ask them to do, because they know that we know them and that we love them and that they're part of that community. So yeah, I think this idea that asking people to do jobs is going to put them off and scare them away, it's almost a similar thing actually to the whole, the kind of come back to the women from the baby and toddler group. I think sometimes we're scared to say we're Christians in case that scares people away. And it's actually like, no, what scares people away is feeling that we've been dishonest about that and that we've tried to like get them in through the back door and pretend we're not, you know? I think being honest and being transparent with whatever group you're working with is the best thing. That
Absolutely.
other
And
bit
that's what
me.
this lovely woman said to me. And she was challenging me, and I challenged her back in a different direction. But people are walking through, even people that aren't Christian are walking through into a church that's providing a parent toddler group. They know they're coming into a church.
Yeah.
They're not, she said, they're not going to be offended if you share the love of Jesus with them. They know they're in a church. They've chosen to come into a church. And that generation, want truth, they want authenticity, they want warmth.
Yeah.
And that day, she's a great woman. I've challenged her to come along to my evening service the way on Sunday night, our monthly service, because she was going to a West End church. So I was saying, come along to our evening service, I think you'll like it. So she challenged me and I challenged her. But that day she challenged me. She says, see, at the end when the microphone comes out and you do songs, we do singing with the young people, you're the minister, you should take that microphone and tell all these parents here that Jesus loves them. So I did it because she challenged me. But I think you're onto something there. People just want us to be real.
Yeah.
We have the most amazing message to share, and it's not hard. We were talking about it in church on Sunday. We had Dalmuir Barclay Parish Church coming to speak to us about the community pantry. And they serve their community and a lot of disadvantaged people in their community so spectacularly well, not just with a pantry, but with activities throughout the week. And we were just saying that, when people come through their doors, they'll maybe just say a question like, why are you doing this? Why are you helping me? Well, we're helping you because we know that God loves you and we want to show some of that love that God has for you. Do you know, it's not hard, it's not difficult. It's basic little conversations that point people in the direction to their creator that loves them. But
Absolutely.
no, I'm totally excited to see what's next for Bull Jaffrey. It's a church that I've had in my heart for a long time. I knew the ministry of your previous minister, Ian. It was fabulous, and I know a lot of people in your church, and there are some really great people that love their church, love their community, love their Lord, and I think that's a good combination, isn't it, Neil?
Oh, it's fantastic. It's just lovely, and it's better felt than tell. And you've warmed our hearts for sure, Katie. Just your honesty, openness, and upfrontness. And I think we are in an environment, it's becoming more and more an environment as the younger generations come through that are open and willing to talk about these things. Whereas my generation and older were a wee bit more reserved, and what will they think, and hesitant, and hopefully we're finding an environment much more now that's open and willing to talk about these things and be honest and straightforward. And as you say, Lindsay, we've got such wonderful news, and it's coming alive to that. It's appreciating how spectacular the gospel is, and how the big story of Jesus coming to live, to die, to rise for us, ascend and pour his spirit out upon us and to be with us always by his spirit, and giving us an eternal purpose. It is supersonic. And so yes, let's rejoice in that. And you've really warmed our hearts. Thanks so much, Katie and
Happening.
Lindsay and everybody's tuning in now. Engage with us. Tell us what you think yourselves. And you can also go to the Growing Young recording that we have, the Emerging Emmaus podcast with Graham Duffin a few months back, and learn a bit more about Growing Young and practicing the Way Course from Bridgetown Church in the States, as well as something we've talked about there. That's a discipleship course that you can plug into and is very helpful. So, yeah, make sure you tune in again, subscribe, and share, and plug into Katie's stuff with Ruth Kennedy as well. That comes out how often, Katie?
We're w once a week, although right now we're actually twice a week run a thing called the Good News Project, which is all about the good news of Jesus, all that stuff we were just talking about there, and what it means for each of us. So you can find us 2 days a week on Instagram and YouTube for the Church of Scotland.
Marvellous. Marvellous. You got a last word, Lindsay? What are you thinking?
Oh, I'm just inspired. I just love it. These kind of conversations just fuel me to what I'm going on to next. So, not just a real hope and vision for our church. I just know God's doing a new thing, and we've got a lot to be thankful for and a lot to look forward to. So, Katie, I'm pleased you're nearby, and I'll ping your brains sometime soon.
Lovely. Go well, everybody. Thanks for joining us. In your neighbourhood, trudge two dumped Jesus friends, drowning before dawning, moving through a maze of misery to an amazing Emmaus encounter. Emerging Emmaus.
Good grief, our dream is dead. Going home instead, comfort of my bed.
Good grief, the pain. Hope hard to sustain, love down the drain.
Good grief, where have you been? What we've seen? Blown to smithereens.
Good grief, how our hearts burned, our minds turned, all we learned.
Good grief, don't go away. Come in to stay. You've shown the way.
Good grief, how he broke the bread with hands that bled, then disappeared.
Good grief, Jesus alive? No need to strive. Chance to thrive. Jesus alive.
Good grief, no time to waste. Now we have a taste to Jerusalem with haste.
Emerging Emmaus, a well-kent lament echoes through the years. How long? How long? Good as is the grieving process, may it be a means to access visions and dreams of Christ's kingdom come. Emmaus, emerge from the gloom. Come, Holy Spirit, come.
So for future podcasts, join us via the Sanctuary First website, Facebook page and app, and also via Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Come on, tune in.